Welcome to Lili Logic. I am Lisa Smith Henderson, also known as Lili. You can go to our website, lililogic.com, and find out more and listen to more podcasts. But I gotta tell our story, Naomi. This was so wild.
I was just telling it to my son last night.
This is when I say I trust the universe completely. I went into Goodwill looking for some workout clothes, and you were standing there, and I was like, "Can we swap?" And it was we, I don't know. You said something cute about a lunar eclipse, and we just struck up a little conversation.
God,
And I
that
started talking about
was
making myself want to go to the gym by buying, new used Goodwill workout clothes. And you're like, "Oh, I'm a health and wellness coach." And I thought, okay, only the divine could work this out. Like, I couldn't in my wildest dreams, like, oh, I'm going to go find a lady and stand next to her, and she's going to be my new friend, and she's going to be a health and wellness coach, and we can talk on the podcast. So that
let me
was.
just say too, really the beginnings of heretofore a lovely friendship. So it was like all of it, right? It was like worlds just colliding in such a good way.
It was really, it just reminded me I don't have to do anything. I just have to show up.
That's right.
But so let me tell you a little bit about Naomi, aside from she and I shopping at the Goodwill. Naomi Solberg has spent much of her adult life in guiding people to find their true passions and body, mind, and spirit. And she started at Emory University and worked there for 12 years and then began her own coaching practice. Now, the thing is, Naomi has a lot of specialties, but she does have a passion for women's health, which is what we're going to talk about today. She's a certified health and wellness coach, a certified personal trainer, and a certified nutrition specialist. So, who could better tell us about all these things? She's got clients that range from stay-at-home moms to New York Times best-selling authors. So, I'm just delighted that you're here today.
Super happy to be here. Really, very, very excited to talk with you and share information.
All right. So, Naomi, I mean, your specialty is nutrition, and I think and wellness and the whole shebang, but you do tend to appreciate and enjoy women's health more. And we were going to talk today about menopausal, postmenopausal. How are our nutrition needs different as we age? Like, could you give me just like a little, like a teeny blackboard, like adolescent, young adult, childbearing years,
Sure,
menopausal?
right. So adolescent, I mean, gosh, our bodies are just growing in every way, right? Everything's new. Everything we're trying to help form great bodies. And when I say great bodies, I don't mean in the social norms that we have of what a great body is, a strong body, a healthy body, right? Realize that young women are getting their period earlier than probably in my generation that they did. But basically in adolescence, we're trying to get those systems, up and running. Women, like it or not, our bodies are made to be baby making machines, right? We do have other things that we'd like to achieve in life, but our bodies, what it knows is we're supposed to be making babies. And so teenage years, we're trying to create those systems so that then we get into the pregnancy years. And obviously, while we're pregnant, the main thing that we want calcium, we want to get good protein, we want to get really good nutrition because we're not only trying to sustain our bodies, but we're sustaining this living being inside of us. And then we reach the point where we're not baby making machines anymore. That's when we're going into perimenopause, which, just for definition's sake, okay, perimenopause, right, is that period wonky estrogen starting to drop, but then goes back up and down. It's fluctuating. We get a 14-day period, then we don't have a period for 3 months, and then we get a 2-day period. Our systems are just going wonky as our hormones are changing. And then once we haven't had a period for 12 months, that's when we're said to be in a menopausal state. We're in that for whatever period of time before we go into postmenopausal. So for today's conversation, let's just really kind of talk about the perimenopause slash menopause slash postmenopause. What we need to do for ourselves is pretty much the same. So we'll just use the term menopause as a collective.
Okay, that sounds great. One thing I don't understand, it seems to me as women are having their periods earlier, girls are having their periods earlier, women seem to be going into menopause earlier. Like I have more friends in their 40s that are like, yeah, I'm perimenopausal. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I was almost 40 when I had my second child. So.
Sure. You know, at the same time, though, I know lots of women who are having babies later. And so I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know if it's because there hasn't been enough research yet of kind of, gosh, what's happening? If we enter our period earlier, are we going to be menopausal earlier? The reason, anecdotally, I don't think that's true is I got my period when I was 12 years old, which for the time was fairly early. I didn't go into perimenopause until my 50s.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't think there's the direct correlation, but I don't think there's really enough evidence to say yes, no. I think every woman is just unique, which can make it a little more frustrating.
Fair enough. So, all right. So we know what happens. We got to feed our baby and we got da da da. And then we get to perimenopause. And what happens to our metabolisms and our need for iron and, you know, all of that?
Everything changes. Everything changes. Because here's the deal. Going into menopause, our estrogen drops. Eventually, it stays dropped, right? I mentioned it kind of fluctuates until it drops. But then once it drops, that's going to affect everything in a woman's body. Everything is so tied to that estrogen. And because when our estrogen drops, it makes our progesterone drop. Right? It makes us produce more cortisol, which is another the stress hormone. Other hormones, which we'll talk about as we go, also get affected. But because of that estrogen drop, then everything's changing. Okay. So suddenly our nutrition needs change because nutrition is fuel. We want to enjoy our food. We're Americans. We've been taught to eat and eat often and eat great food and whatever it is. But our needs change. It's the fuel of our body, and so we're going to need to fuel it differently to keep our bodies healthy.
So, is it really true our metabolism slows with
I
menopause?
know you'd love for me to say, no, that's a myth. It's absolutely true. Yes, our
Okay.
metabolism absolutely slows down. However, there are things we can do about it, right? We could, like you said, you learn the universe is there to take care of you. You just have to show up. Our metabolism, you know, our bodies are the same way. Yes, our metabolism is going to naturally go down, and there are things that we can do to help boost it back up.
Okay, for example.
For example, one of the reasons our metabolism is dropping, right? Estrogen drops, we start losing muscle mass. So for all these
Oh,
years,
so we need
adolescence.
estrogen for muscle mass?
Absolutely, yes. I'm going to answer anytime you ask me today, do we need estrogen for? I'm probably going to say absolutely yes. But let's start with that muscle mass because it's super important to our metabolism. Adolescents are building muscle, right? That's why they can sit and, you know, eat whatever it is they're eating. And for most teenagers, they're burning it fast because they're moving, they're doing stuff. And they're developing muscle. Our muscle mass starts to drop as our estrogen is dropping, and it can drop pretty rapidly. Again, every woman is unique. Nothing I'm saying is an all or nothing thing for each woman. But for the most part, we're all going to be losing that muscle mass. So we want to maintain our muscle mass. We want to build muscle mass. How do we do that? We do that with calcium, right? Which is dairy products and broccoli and nuts and seeds and things like that. We do it through protein, which we can talk about protein amounts in a minute, but protein, super, super, super important. And we do it through movement. Best
Right.
way to build that muscle mass is strength training.
And that in turn helps the bones, which are starting. Let me ask you, I know what you're going to say. Does estrogen have anything to do with bone loss?
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely, yes. Again, calcium. We want that calcium. We want that protein. We want those nuts and seeds. And best way to build bone is to build the muscle around it. So
Okay.
anytime we're doing a bicep curl and tricep, we're building the front of that upper muscle. We're building the back of that muscle, and holding those two things together are those bones. So those bones have to get stronger to hold it together.
You know, I'm not a giant fan of Western medicine, so I don't I haven't been to the doctor in 11 years. I don't know what my bone density is. I mean, I'm guessing at my age, it's probably not great, but I do have quite a few friends and relatives that are on bone builders. Can you talk a little bit about that? And are they necessary? Do they help? And is there a natural way to do that?
Okay, so number one, I would recommend to every woman after the age of, I'd say, 55, especially women who are leaner in stature, go get a bone density test. Okay, even if you're not a fan of a doctor, get a doctor to prescribe for you to get a bone density test. Super important to know where your bone density is. You don't want to assume where it is. Okay. You don't want to assume it's bad. You don't want to assume it's good. Don't assume. Go find out. Knowledge is power. Go find out what your bone density is. Then, okay, if your bone density is not good, can you take medicine for osteo supplements, whatever, for osteoporosis and osteopenia? Sure, you can. Yes, you can. Let me say this, though, too. I'm not a medical doctor. Don't claim to be. Don't want to prescribe for anybody. Talk to your doctor. It's good to have a relationship with a doctor. I'm a big fan of Eastern medicine as well, but I think you can find a balance of both. I have actually had clients that have, through strength training, been able to reduce, if not completely go off, osteoporosis medicine.
Wow. So it is that important.
It is that
Strength
important.
training is
It
that
is.
important.
It is not. Keep in mind of this too. I'm a big fan of strength training. You'll hear me talk about it from the hilltops. With strength training, you're also building balance. As we get older, we lose balance. We're all going to lose our balance sometimes. With strength training, you'll lose your balance less. Then the times that you lose your balance, you'll be able to catch yourself better. Then the times that you lose your balance, don't catch yourself as well and actually fall. You want those bones strong because you don't want to be breaking bones when you get older. So much harder to heal.
I know I've broken two wrists in the
Right?
last 10 years. Yeah. I mean, I fell on concrete both times and it was like, oh, I just have a feeling, you know. So, but one thing I've discovered is my balance seems to be directly tied to the strength of my legs, especially my quads. If they're strong, I feel sturdier.
Sure. Legs and back, right? Because back's what's holding us upright.
Okay.
So, combination of both. Now, what I will say too, I know we're going to talk a lot about nutrition, but really movement's super important. And I say movement, not exercise. Exercise is part of movement, but we want to be moving as much as we can throughout the day. Go have that great workout in the morning, but keep moving throughout the day. Otherwise, things just slow down and all of that. When you're doing exercise, when you're doing strength training, make sure that you're staying symmetrical in how you work your body. Our bodies aren't symmetrical. One side will be stronger than the other. One side can move better, all of those things. But we can control how we strength train. Play to your weaker side. Whatever your weaker side does, that's all your stronger side is going to do. Otherwise, you're going to overcompensate with that stronger side.
So don't
Back to
do
front.
20 reps on one side and 10 on the strong side. I gotcha. Okay.
Exactly. Keep them the same and front to back. If you're doing back muscles, do those chest muscles. Again, that they're holding each other in place. So if we don't do both sides the same, front, back, left, right, we're risking injury. We have a higher risk of injury.
Yeah. Well, I discovered I started this 60-day challenge at my
How's
gym.
that going?
Oh, it's
Yes.
going great, but I found out I was overtraining. I finally
Okay.
hit the wall and I literally spent a day in bed with a heating pad and ice packs. I was like, "Oh, I really overdid it." But I didn't think, I was just like, "I'm going to push through this, man." And I and it was
Good.
a hard lesson to learn. And so I'm telling my trainer, and he said, "Oh, Lisa, you were overtraining." And I was like, "But I didn't feel like I want." Yeah. So just accepting that my body will not do at this age what it did at 50, or certainly at 40,
Sure.
but that I have to be mindful. If I am hurting beyond, like, I've got some lactic acid from a little bit of soreness, I've
Absolutely right.
probably overdone it.
Listen
So,
to your body.
yeah.
Absolutely.
And
Yes.
that was a hard lesson because I'm very stubborn and I'm very competitive, even if it's just with my own self.
Sure.
Like, oh, I lost a whole day in bed, but it's like, okay, well, can't. My ankles hurt, my shoulder, my whole body hurts. But I was going to ask a question and I can't remember exactly what it was now. And it's kind of not tied in, but I'm going to just jump. Women that have hysterectomies, is it better if they can keep their ovaries even if they're menopausal?
That's not a yes or no question.
Oh.
Better, it depends on what they're trying to achieve. I just hesitate to answer questions with a blanket yes, blanket
Gotcha.
no.
Well, okay, then let me rephrase it. Do our ovaries continue to produce a teeny bit of estrogen for our whole lives?
Maybe a teeny bit, not enough to
To make a difference.
do something that could harm us in another way to hold one to. Because
Okay.
here's the thing, there's so many things, there's so many other things that we can do to help with that estrogen loss. Really don't want to get into the weeds of hormone therapy.
Okay,
But
no.
again, if it's something women are, let me just say this about it, if women are interested at all in getting more information about hormone therapy, it can be a game changer for women. If you want to do that, decide to go find a gynecologist that is a menopause specialist, because so many, even gynecologists, it's surprising how little they know about menopause, how little they were trained in school. You'd think as a residency, that would be a big part of it. But this conversation is such a new thing that people are having, right? All of a sudden there's podcasts, there's books, there's comedians that talk about it. There's all kinds of stuff, which we didn't have very recently. So, hormone therapy can help produce extra estrogen. There are foods that help produce estrogen.
Bam,
Yes.
let's talk about that. What can
Okay.
we eat?
So there's something called phytoestrogen foods, which are able to sort of produce, they're called weak estrogens, but they produce a little bit of that estrogen that's helping with some of these things naturally. Okay, those are soy products, those are chickpeas, those green tea, great source of that, plums, grapes, nuts, flaxseed, chia seeds, things like that are giving us a little more estrogen. Enough estrogen to go make a baby? No, but that's not the goal, right? I won't speak for all women, but I don't think at 55 or 60 you're really looking to have a baby. Right. So we're just looking to mitigate some of those other menopausal symptoms, which that can help do.
I think for me, the worst thing, I do not like to be hot, and the
Okay.
hot flashes were just horrible. And I started taking red clover and soy supplements, and that was enough to kind of get me through, I guess, until my body sort of learned how to adjust to that.
Yeah, there's something now too with a special kind of yam.
Yes,
Hard to
wild yam.
find, but you can find naturalists that are helping find women that the way that they're then ingesting the yam. Some people use it as a cream, some people use it as a suppository, vaginal suppository. Yams are very helpful with that. There's other things that you can do to help mitigate hot flashes that you're eating. Let
Okay.
me start with what we don't want to be eating. Okay. Now, perfection is the enemy of good. So I don't want anybody to listen to this and go, oh, she said I can no longer have this at all. Not what I'm saying. I'm saying be aware that it can be contributing to your hot flashes and you decide how you're going to cut back on that. Three biggest enemies of all menopausal symptoms, you're going to hear me say over and over again, sugar. And when I say sugar, I mean refined sugar, alcohol, and caffeine. Okay. With that said, let's start with the caffeine. Cup of coffee, one cup of coffee a day, cup of green tea is actually helpful, good for you. We don't want a lot of caffeine because what that's doing is it's just producing more heat in your
Oh, okay. Yeah, so that's
body.
going to not help you
That's
feel.
not going to help with a hot flash because that's all that heat going through. We're going backwards here. Alcohol definitely can produce heat in your body.
Well, and that just is sugar to me, right?
Sugar, what is sugar? The main sugar does in your body is cause inflammation, right? So by definition, inflammation is causing more heat in your body. Sugar is causing all kinds of problems, all kinds of symptoms, but hot flashes, night sweats, those things are a big one. What we do want to do is we want to try to expand our arteries, that kind of thing, because as those expand, blood's going through easier. It's not working so hard to get through.
Is that
And
what the
so
hot flash is?
it's not what it is, it's contributing towards,
Okay.
right? It's
All
not
right.
the reason. Again, it's that estrogen drop. We're not able to regulate our body temperature as well, but we want to be aware of things that are making it even.
Okay,
Okay. So
so how does
yes.
stress aggravate hot flashes?
Great question. And let me say one more thing though about what we can do for hot flashes. We
Of
definitely
course.
want to stay hydrated. Super important. Now, when I say hydration, notice I'm not saying we all want to be drinking more water. Do we want to be drinking more water? Yes, we absolutely do. But there's other ways to get hydration as well. So drink that water. Let that be your main source of hydration. But that cup of coffee is hydration. That cup of tea is hydration. Eating a salad full of like water vegetables, lettuce and cucumbers and tomatoes and broccoli and leafy greens and all that, hydration. So as we get older, we want more hydration than we've ever needed. Now that you're working out, you want more hydration than you needed. Now
Oh,
that
yeah.
we're coming into summer months and we're sweating, we want even more hydration. Keep a cup of water with you all the time. You're more likely to drink it if it's with you. This is water, by the way. Yes, good job. Drink it all the time. Wake up, start by drinking a cup of water. Now, your question about stress. Again, estrogen dropping, we're producing more of the stress hormone, which is cortisol. All right. Cortisol, again, is in every cell of our body. Cortisol is useful to help with small amounts of stress, helps us deal with it. But the more cortisol we're producing, the more stress we're gonna incur, right? Helpful to a point, just like caffeine, helpful to a point, and then an excess becomes harmful to us. So we wanna try to reduce those cortisol levels. Cortisol likes to sit in our belly. So we're getting more belly fat. That's why we're getting that menopause belly, because cortisol is kind of sitting there doing its thing. I just can't say enough bad things about producing too much cortisol, right? So what we want to do is we want to try to relax ourselves the best that we can. Yoga, breathing, meditation, being with friends, whatever brings you joy and lowers that cortisol level some is going to be helpful because that also affects our metabolism. The more cortisol we are producing in our body, the more insulin resistant we become. And the more insulin resistant we become, the more sugar we're producing in our body.
Oh, okay.
Right. So that
Wow.
cortisol is affecting everything. Estrogen dropping, cortisol going up, those two things together affecting everything in our body.
Anecdotally, the reason I remember that is my husband and I were on vacation and we were on safari in South Africa, and it was wintertime in the Southern Hemisphere. And I was like, God, this is great. I'm just not having hot flashes. And he said, well, I'm not sure it's the weather. I think you're more relaxed. And I was like, damn it, damn it, damn it. And it just made me aware that my energy, and when I'm frantic or in fight or flight mode, everything kind of goes haywire in my body.
Absolutely. And that's at any age. But the reason we want to talk about it for menopausal women is because we are getting more stressed. Menopausal women have more anxiety attacks. They're more prone to, let me say that. They're more prone to anxiety attacks, especially if at a younger age you suffer from anxiety, you're more likely to slip back into that. So you want to be aware of that. So, instead of, I hear you, that first moment of, damn it, I was hoping I was done with hot flashes. The good news is you found out, oh, I can control these a little more than I thought. It's
Yes.
not a prescribed sentence that this must happen and this will be the rest of my life. It doesn't have to be. And to me, that's super good news. So we want to limit those things. Now, let's talk about the flip side of that though too. When our metabolism is changing, one of the things that cortisol is affecting is our metabolism of macronutrients, which are protein, carbohydrates, and fat.
Okay.
Those are your three macronutrients. Okay. So protein, we need more of. We need to think of ways of getting more. As we get older, we need more protein. Our body's working harder. We need it, right? Our body in menopause is working harder. We need that protein. Carbohydrates are sugars. They are sugars, but we need those. I don't want to naysay anybody's trend diets that they may be on, but if they ask me, I would naysay their trend diet if it's one that says, hey, up your protein and eliminate carbohydrates. You want complex carbohydrates, you want healthy carbohydrates.
Well, and to me, that's a recipe for depression. You zap
Absolutely.
all your serotonin. Carbohydrates are the only ways that we make serotonin. So you cut those out, and golly, you're not just depressed about not having sugar anymore.
That's right. You're just depressed. And not to mention the fact it's the fuel of our body. It's energizing our body. So what makes a good carbohydrate, we won't say good and bad, a
Yeah, well, but let's.
complex versus simple. Let's say that. Understood that complex is good and simple is bad, but we'll use the terms complex and simple. All carbohydrates are some combination that include at least one of these: fiber, starch, sugar. The more fiber that you have in your carbohydrate, sweet potatoes, vegetables, fruits, those things, the more fiber that we have, the better the carbohydrate is for us because it's slowing down our bloodstream, keeping us insulin sensitive, right? Keeping those cortisol levels down. Where the other extreme, a spoonful of sugar is also a carbohydrate, but it's 100% sugar, spiking our blood sugar. Get that quick rush and that quick drop, all of those things. So we want to keep eating those complex carbohydrates. And then fats, there are good fats and bad fats. Healthy fats, olive oil, avocado oil, olives, avocados, walnuts, salmon, tuna, fatty fishes. All of those things are so necessary and good for us, good for our brain. Good for our metabolism, good for vitamins getting to the right places in our bodies, all of those things. Again, we want to be aware, menopause, our metabolism is getting, the metabolism of those three macronutrients is getting wonky. So we want to be sure to focus on, are we getting enough of those?
Gosh, Naomi, we have hit a lot of topics so far, and we have more to cover. So thank you for all this info today. And when we come back, can we talk about protein and what are our real needs for protein?
Sure, absolutely. And all the ways that we can get protein, no matter what your dietary restrictions are, right?
Perfect. Okay.
Carnivore, pescatarian, vegetarian, vegan, we got you covered. And let's leave everybody with this one thought, and that is make a small change. Make a small change today. We'll talk more about what you can do next time, but hopefully you picked up something in this session that resonates with you.
I love it. Thank you. Okay. All right. Naomi Solberg, certified coach, personal trainer, nutrition coach, wellness health expert, and Beyond the Push-Up is her business. And I'll put it in the comments so that you can find her. We'll be back to talk about protein next on Lili Logic.
All right, see you next time.